I'd like to read to you again from The Tremble of Love. In the first recording that I sent out, I recorded the preface and my author's note. And what I'd like to do today is read to you from the very beginning of the story. The book has three parts, and I'm going to read to you from the very opening of part one. So let's see. I wanted to show you. Here it is. Part one. 1707. Village of Okup, Podolia region, the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth. Chapter one. Caring for that child is like trying to tame the wind, the butcher's widow lamented, unaware that Srolik was near enough to hear her. The gentle widow huddled close to her friend under the baker's tin awning, waiting for the hard rain to ease so she could make her way through the marketplace before the Sabbath's descent. "We have done what we could to honor the memory of the boy's holy parents," the baker's wife assured her companion. "The righteous Sarah and Eliezer would surely forgive us for giving up an impossible duty." There was nothing to forgive, Srolik thought, crouched for shelter under a nearby empty cart. The villagers of Okup had cared for him as best they could these past 3 years. It wasn't the villagers' fault that his parents were dead. "Your strange ways are no surprise to me," the tinsmith had chided early that morning, dragging his cart past Srolik. "Your parents bore you in the midnight of their lives. Little wonder your mind is wrapped in darkness." Srolik had kept his gaze lowered as usual, continuing to walk slowly toward no particular destination. He hadn't understood what the tinsmith said, but felt relieved to hear him say it. Maybe this explained why Srolik seemed to move in a different world than others around him, a world quiet and vast, as if it had no end. Often when his neighbors spoke to him, he watched their lips move and hands gesture as if he were deep inside his own body, looking out at them. That was why he preferred to walk with his head lowered, rarely looking into people's eyes or addressing them. He hoped they would not address him either. Better they talk about him as if he were not there. He wasn't afraid of them, though some thought so. It was just that when his father had drawn his last breath, it seemed as if he had taken Srolik's voice with him. Srolik was 6 years old when his father Eliezer died. A handful of village men crowded into the room where his father lay in the dim light of their single oil lamp. Srolik watched from the foot of the bed. It was the bed he and his father had slept in together since the day he'd been born, the same bed his mother had died in, holding him. The towering shadows of the men rocked back and forth while Malachamoves, the angel of death, waited patiently in a dark corner. Rebbe Eliezer lifted a gaunt hand to call Srolik to his side. Leaning over him, Srolik felt his father's coarse beard on his cheek and heard the rasping of the old man's breath. When Rebbe Eliezer started to speak, Srolik held his breath. He wanted to listen with his whole body and let the tenderness of his father's words wash over him. "Do not be afraid, Srolik," Rebbe Eliezer whispered hoarsely. Srolik was afraid, but he did not say so. He wiped his tears with his sleeve, though he knew his father would not mind him crying. When he turned back, he was surprised to see joy in his father's eyes. Rebbe Eliezer took Srolik's small hand in his trembling grasp, lifted his head slightly, and looked straight into Srolik's eyes. "Do not be afraid, my son. God is with you. You will not be alone." Then Reb Eliezer lowered his head as if its weight were too great and closed his eyes, his large hands suddenly heavier in Srolik's. Reb Eliezer did not move again. Srolik tried not to move either, hoping he might see the quiet angel of death take his father's soul. Thank you. Thank you for your interest. Thank you for listening. May you be well, and may our dear world be well. And thank you for meeting me in this space of love. And may love prevail. I'll see you in the next video. And you know, I do see you in a way, because when I record, I imagine you on the other side of my eyes as I look through the screen, feeling you, imagining you. So thank you for being here. And I'll see you again soon with much love.